a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning and welcome to Senate Local Government, Friday, February 25th. We have a pretty busy calendar, but we should be able to work through it pretty closely. Just a reminder for those of you in the audience to keep your cell phones on vibrate or turn them off to avoid distractions during the committee hearings. We would also like to welcome the folks out there listening on the South Dakota Legislative Research Council online website. With that, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Unhoff? Here. Lederman? Nelson? Teason?
Here.
Colleen?
Here.
Fleckaway?
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The Chair will now entertain a motion for approval of minutes from our previous meeting.
Second.
Moved by Senator Unhoff, second by Senator Teason. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Minutes approved. Before we get started, if you plan to testify this morning, make sure you sign up. That we have sign-up sheets on the wooden podium up there. And I also want to give the pages an opportunity to come up to the microphone. Tell us which high school you are from and if you're a senior, if you have any future college plans.
Hello, I'm Madeline Kerr from Highmore, and I plan to attend SDSU next year.
Hello, I'm Jesse Todd from Oneida, and I'm thinking about attending Haver College in Kansas.
Thank you, too, for joining us this morning. You guys are vital to the process. Everyone up here couldn't do it without you. Committee members, we're going to make one subtle change to the calendar. We're going to bump House Bill 1201, which is on the bottom. That is going to be first up on the agenda. And with that said, we will get started. House Bill 1201 is an act to revise auditing requirements for water development districts. And welcome, Representative Boomgarden.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jamie Boomgarden, representative for District 17, and I guess my congratulations to the game last night. We'll start with House Bill 1201. Back in my district, there's a water district back home that has about $60,000 in annual revenues that come into its account, and they write about 150 checks each year based on that account. One of their concerns is that because it's a $60,000 amount of revenue, they have to do a $2,800 to $3,000 audit every year. That turns out to be about 4% of their annual budget. This is just an attempt to allow them to be able to do biannual audits, and when they do qualify to do the biannual audits, it still has to include both years. They can't skip a year altogether and then just do it on that single year. The criteria to be able to fit under this is that there cannot be revenue greater than $250,000 for the water district to do this. So therefore, it affects about four out of the seven or five out of the eight water districts that are out there. So like I believe it's the James River and East Dakota would not be included because their revenues far exceed the limitations set in this bill. It's going to be a permissive bill. They do not have to do this. It just gives them the option that if they feel they can save anywhere from a couple hundred to $500, maybe even $1,000, it would give them that opportunity to do it. Legislative audit will still have the opportunity to require an audit if they felt something was going on that needed to be investigated. So they still have that permission as well. That's really the gist of the bill. If you have any questions, I'll be certainly standing by for you.
Thank you, Representative Boomgarden. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1201? We will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1201. Are there any opponents? We will now open it up, committee members, for questions of the committee. Do any committee members have any questions on House Bill 1201? Senator Unhoff.
Thank you. How did you come to 250,000? Where's the benchmark or what's the data that suggests that's the spot where you start?
When we were going through a lot of the townships and other ones, they're kind of all over the map in different areas. This just allows all, four out of the 8 to qualify. It was kind of just a grab. There's no rhyme or reason really to it. Just we wanted to make sure we excluded the two largest ones for a number of other reasons, but that was it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
Follow up to that previous question. Can you tell me what some of the township ones or some of the other ones are?
Mr. Chair. Oh, it's going to be the Vermilion River Water District. I believe the Central Water District, which is Pier. I want to say West Water District, which I think is over by the Rapid City area. I can't recall the others right off the top.
I'm sorry.
Follow-up, Senator?
Maybe I misstated the question. Can you tell me what the limits are for other types of entities? You mentioned townships and those sorts of things. Do you have some of that information?
Hello, Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Townships and road districts have no audit requirements. I think if any government that exceeds $500,000 in federal funds, they're required to have audits. Cities with $100,000 to $600,000 revenues, they have an internal review that they have to go through. And I think that was it. That was all.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. And I'm sure with the legislative audit doing the books on this, they follow the check procedures and everything, so you've got different people. It's not the same person that's involved in writing the checks as, you know, issuing and all of that.
Mr. Chair, to clarify, you mean...
Well, when you have a process where you don't have the same person authorizing the checks and then managing the books and all of that, usually audit has you have separate individuals so that you've got a check and balance in place. And I'm just asking the question on this. In these size of water districts, do they have the appropriate checks and balance in place that audit would recommend?
Mr. Chair? My presumption is that they have the same person doing those things, but the auditor is an independent person that comes in and reviews the books. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Any other questions, committee members? Thank you, Representative Boomgarden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll now move to committee discussion and action. Committee discussion and action on House Bill 1201. Senator Holeen.
I move due pass.
Second. Motion is due pass on House Bill 1201 by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any discussion on that motion, Senator Holeen?
Seems like a good bill, a common sense bill to save some money and still have the oversight process. It passed out of the House unanimously. I think it's it's a good bill. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the due pass motion for House Bill 1201? Okay, we have a due pass motion, House Bill 1201. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Schleckway.
Aye.
Unanimous, seven ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect, House Bill 1201 passes. Senator Lederman.
Second.
We have a consent motion by Senator Lederman, second by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1201 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. Next on the agenda today, we'll move back to the top of the original calendar, House Bill 1051. This is an act to provide deadlines for the transmission of voter registration files. And welcome, Senator Krebs.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Local Government Committee, and congratulations to you basketball players. It was fun watching you, but more importantly, raising money for kids voting. 1051 has come to fruition just in visitation from a county auditor that has realized, maybe through some constituency requests, that information is not getting submitted or transmitted to the Secretary of State's office in a timely manner. And what we're doing here is just putting that into an act formation for that. So what it's doing is amending and updating a current information in Section 12 or Code 12 that the county auditor shall transmit the updated information on voter registration and voter election history to the Secretary of State's office by a certain time frame. And those time frames that we have set in stone are on lines 11 and 12, which says it has to be into the Secretary of State's office by July 15th after a primary and December 15th. After a general election. Again, a lot of people may want this information for voter records, voter information. This way it is unified. There has been somewhat of an assumed date of December 15th, but this just sets it in stone that we have it on the record so that all of us have a unified pattern to this. And I appreciate your support on 1051.
Thank you, Senator Krebs. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1051?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members.
Mike, yep.
That's better. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Pat Powers with the Secretary of State's office. Secretary of State Gant wanted to communicate that we two are in favor of the measure and support its passage.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1051? We will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1051. Are there any opponents? Committee members, we will now open it up for questions of the committee. Do any committee members have any questions? Senator Teason.
Just a quick one for Senator Krebs. The presumed beneficiaries of this change would be candidates probably that are looking for, you know, mailing lists and voter information history, or any other beneficiaries that I can't think of at the moment.
Mr. Chairman, most likely your party affiliations, your candidates, correct, Secretary of State's office. I can't think of anything else. I mean, other county auditors, I think the county auditors and just having a deadline. I truly believe that that's something, instead of putting it off and not having that information, it's set in stone.
Any other questions for House Bill 1051, committee members? Seeing no further questions, we will now move on to committee discussion and action. Committee discussion and action. Senator Bradford.
Move to pass.
We have a motion, do pass motion made by Senator Bradford, seconded by Senator Lederman on House Bill 1051. Any discussion on that motion?
Beautiful bill.
Seeing no further discussion, the motion before us, committee members, is do pass for House Bill 1051. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford. Aye.
Beautiful bill.
Aye. I'm assuming an aye then.
I'll say aye.
Aye. Lederman.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Pauline.
Aye.
Fleckaway.
Aye.
Six ayes and one beautiful bill.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senator
Chairman.
Teason.
Mr. Chairman, move consent.
Second.
We have a consent motion by Senator Teason, seconded by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1051 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. We will now move on to House Bill 1053. This is an act to repeal the requirement to provide notice to abutting counties when changing the county plan or ordinances. And with that, we'll welcome the Honorable Representative Kirkaby. Thank you, Representative Kirkaby. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1053? We will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1053. Are there any opponents who wish to testify?
Holding for Prairie Hills Audubon Society. I can see where there might be some need to clean this up and make it a little more efficient, but I think you're getting rid of important public notice opportunity. I think that originally this was put into law whenever it was because people were concerned about confined animal feeding operations being done in one county and affecting the other. So when you have some sort of large facility where the impacts, the pollution impacts or whatever would cross the line that the people in the next county want to know about it. So I suggest that there could be some sort of compromise or amendment or kill this and come back with something in the future. And I've suggested, and I emailed it to the bill sponsors, you know, three different sort of compromises. One would be that you only have the notice required when it, say, it's 3 miles from the border of the next county. Another one would be a requirement that the notice be published in a timely fashion on the website, which is a lot easier for people to access and look at than subscribing to all the newspapers in the adjoining counties. And then another one, which is to make use of current electronic technology, which would be to ask the county auditor to email a Microsoft Word or a PDF file of the announcement to all the adjacent counties who have requested that and provided an email address, and that will be the duty of the requesting county to provide a valid email address, and that if the auditor sends it, they've met their requirement, and if it bounces back, that's not the auditor's problem. I, as for streamlining and saving work, I think this may save work for the sending county, but does it save work for the receiving county? Because if the receiving county wants to find out about all of the neighboring counties who may be doing something along the border that will affect them, if they have to continuously read the public notices in all of the adjoining county papers looking for that one item that might affect them, that's going to be a huge tax load on the receiving county. So in order to save the sending county time, you consume time of the receiving county. So I'm suggesting that there could maybe be some fixes to this, but that this bill has not yet attained that fix. Okay, so I'm suggesting either amend it or reject it.
Thank you, Ms. Hilding. And we're going to have you sign the sheet up there, please. Are there any further proponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1053?
I'm an opponent.
Yeah, I said open.
No, you said
open. We understood what you said. It's all right.
Are there any further opponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1053? We'll now move on, committee members, to questions of the committee. Senator Thiessen.
Thank you. Quick question for Representative Kirkaby. Your testimony is that this is completely redundant and this notification is required in another statute. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, in the previous section or the item of that, it actually does specifically state what that petitioning auditor is supposed to do. They do, in fact, have to do that registered or specifically states registered or certified mail to that abutting auditor within 1 mile of that property. So it actually does put in statute what the auditor is actually supposed to do with that notice. The provision, the bill that I have in front of you, all it does is say you're supposed to notify those abutting auditors. That's all it says, Senator.
Follow? follow-up, Senator.
And the other statute that you refer to has a time requirement as well?
Correct.
And one more? And nothing that what you propose changes anything about public notification?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Senator Hunhoff.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'm on the same track as Senator Teason. Under 11-228, and that's 113, we were just in that bill yesterday in front of your committee, Representative. That has to deal with notice requirements for changing in zoning requested by landowners. This is not a change. This is different. This is shall propose change or modification to plan or ordinances. Now, a comprehensive plan is different than a request for a zoning change or ordinances. So if you take this out of there, and I'm an abutting landowner, and you're changing the comprehensive plan of the county next to me, that could impact, and I wouldn't know anything about it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond, and it's a very straightforward question you have, but that certainly is not my interpretation of the merits of this bill.
Well, we contend. I'm just reading what's in 113, which is zoning changes, and then in this bill it says proposed change or modification to the plan or ordinances. The other one doesn't impact ordinances. It's just zoning changes. So to me, this is a definitive change.
Ms. Chairman, if I could respond, and I certainly, through my wealth of experience and knowledge, having the privilege of serving in here, I always know that it's very wise not to ever argue, especially with somebody serving in the Senate. All I can say is that this bill was brought on behalf of the South Dakota Planners Association, and they led me to believe that any concerns that were brought up are addressed in other provisions of statute, and we just can't emphasize enough that any public notice or awareness will never be bypassed.
Senator Holeen.
Representative Kirkaby, could you estimate for me the cost savings? It doesn't seem like it would be that great. I mean, maybe an hour, couple hours worth of work, a couple stamps. It doesn't. Trying to get my head around any cost savings that this might provide.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond, it can't be saving anything. There's no question. There's no reasonable amount of time or a couple stamps, but specifically in statute, I think what we're really trying to address in here is that notification to that abutting or that surrounding or that auditor that very well could be in Pennington County, for an example, could be 80 miles away. Sending them a letter is one thing. What that county auditor is supposed to do with it, I think, really is the merits that are trying to be addressed in this bill. And I can, if I could follow up, Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to inform you that I have no professional experience in county planning.
Follow up.
Well, Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having said that, I understand this might be an unfair question, but I was wondering if in your research of the bill, and I will also ask this to Mrs. Hilding as well, can you give me any specific incidents that this bill would address and either save time or cause a problem, depending upon if you're a proponent or an opponent?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I think it would just boil down to that. In my mind, I'm going to picture myself being a resident of Pennington County. I also have a small acreage in Meade County. If my horse pasture adjoined Pennington County and I specifically was looking to split my property and divide it off into two 20-acre parcels, that's, in my mind, that's specifically where that rezone, because it certainly would have to be where that notification would, in fact, apply and where those notices would have to go. And specifically within that, it is addressed in statute as far as who is going to be notified and, more specifically, why.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, you said in your, pardon me if I'm a little but I thought you said in the other notification it says within 1 mile. Did you make that statement?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, in 11.2.28.1, it specifically says the affected property abuts, adjoins, or is within 1 mile of a county border. Their county auditor, on behalf of the individual landowner, shall also notify by registered or certified mail the county auditor in the adjoining county.
Follow up,
Senator.
Then I could see that, but I think this covers that county that's maybe on that end of Pennington County, because, like, I just using Pennington County. It's really long, man, and it has counties over here that might not be a mile, and this would cover those counties in case there was a effect in the water runoff or something if you did a development. I just can't see where this notification hurts anything by leaving it in there. Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the committee? Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want a clarification on this from the bill sponsor. From reading the ordinance the way it is, reading the statute the way it is, it seems like that notice would go to the county that abuts the area of the proposed change, not all counties of that county. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
I do have one more
follow-up.
Question. Thank you. As a former county commissioner, Mr. Kirkaby, representing Kirkaby, isn't there ordinance is already in place for just clarifying because of one of the points made by the opponents. I'm pretty sure there's already ordinances in place for confinements, that if there's any type of request for zoning for confinements, if there's any type of change in confinements, I'm pretty sure if there's anybody else in the room that can help me on that, but I'm pretty sure there's plenty of statutes in place that provide for notice of any type of zoning for hog confinements or large animal confinements to municipalities and counties that would be affected. Is that correct, Representative Kirkaby?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, yes, that's in other parts of statutes, and those are that registered or certified mail for those surrounding property owners.
Thank you.
Senator Holeen.
Representative Kirkaby, just real quick. Sorry, before I sit down. The opponent in her testimony was saying that she had emailed the proponents to suggest some compromises. The one, at least about the email, seemed, you know, not too odious or to any county auditor. Was there any consideration given to the any of the proposed amendments?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, and if I could, I'll just deliver this. I have this in my file. On the House side, Representative Klocek did have a proposed amendment on the House floor, and I'll give you this that he did not offer. This would address her concern.
Thank you, Representative. Any further questions, members of the committee? Senator Teason.
Just one more. I don't want to wear Representative Kirkaby out, but Representative Kirkaby, can you tell us, do you bring this bill on behalf of any county officials, or can you tell us on whose behalf you bring the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is brought on behalf of the South Dakota Planners Association.
Thank you. You probably said that. I was probably dozing off.
Any further questions, committee members? The chair will now move on to committee discussion and action. Committee discussion and action. Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've never served on a planning commission, but I've
I've been to plenty of meetings, and I know that they're usually they're citizens that are appointed by the county commissioners. They come in for a meeting maybe once a month or whenever called for next to nothing, maybe $25 or the cost of travel. And to me, when I see something like this, this bill here, where it makes it a little bit easier for these guys to live by the rules, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that the points that the opponent brought up have they're serious issues. I think hog confinements, large animal confinement lots are a serious issue, but I think that they're addressed fully in other parts of statute. And I think that without having opposition from the county organizations who are in the room at the time, I don't see any red flags on this bill, and I would like to move do pass. Thank you.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1053 by Senator Lederman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Nelson. Any further discussion on the do pass motion? Senator Bradford.
Well, there's a couple things, too, in there. It only has to be published once in the legal newspaper of the county. Now, that's not too much notification, because if you did this in Pennington County and it appeared in the Rapid City Journal and it affected Custer County, we're going to eliminate any notification to anybody in Custer County at all. Because it doesn't have to go in their paper. I kind of question the fact that we're taking away a notice to an adjoining county. I don't know. I believe everybody ought to be pretty open about government, and I can't foresee where this is going to encumber any county commission with any really major things. So I'm going to oppose it.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the do pass motion for House Bill 1053 in front of us? Senator Holeen.
I'll actually kind of agree with Senator Bradford. I wish if the South Dakota Planners Association felt so strongly about this bill that they would have come and testified, or at least said something, sent a letter or anything to read into the record to let us know why this bill is so needed. I understand it's probably not going to be a big issue, but and I understand that hopefully no problems will occur, but I'm just not sure about it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Teason.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I, too, am troubled by the absence of testimony from any appointed or elected officials, well, with the exception, obviously, of Representative Kirkby. And while some may think that their absence is a good thing, I sometimes think their absence is a concern for me. So I'm not sure where I'm at on this either. Thank you.
Senator Holeen.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure about the parliamentary rules about this, but I was wondering, would there be any sort of consensus to defer this to our next committee meeting to allow the South Dakota Planners Association to give some testimony, or would that not be in accordance with the rules?
I believe, Senator Holeen, that would be in our purview. I mean, that's a chair decision and a committee decision. If you'd grant the chair latitude, I have a question really briefly for Representative Kirkby.
Can I defer to... Oh, okay. Just the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kirkby, is there a the South Dakota Planners Association, do they have an executive director? Do they, I mean, could we get them on the phone if we defer this to Monday? They don't necessarily have to be here and physically in person, but can we get them on the phone to clarify some of this?
Mr. Chairman, they certainly do have officers, absolutely. We could arrange that, and we certainly could make arrangements with your consideration to have people with substantially more knowledge than the Honorable Representative from District 35.
Thank you for clarifying that, Representative Kirkaby. With that, committee members, I do believe there'd be value based on what's been expressed today in deferring this. And so Chair would entertain a motion, or would it be a substitute motion? Substitute motion to defer.
Mr. Chair, I'll move a substitute motion to defer this until Monday.
Okay. We have a substitute motion before us to defer till Monday, House Bill 1053, defer till Monday by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Lederman. Any further discussion? Madam Secretary, please call the roll on this. Excuse me, I apologize, committee members. We'll just make this a voice vote. All in favor of the substitute motion to defer House Bill 1053 to Monday, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1053 is deferred until Monday. The next bill on the agenda is House Bill 1114. This is an act to revise the conditions under which contracts with local officials are permitted. And welcome, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. Tom Nelson from Lead, Senator District 31, which is Lawrence County. 1114 makes two changes dealing with when a local official is allowed to do business with their own entity. The first, on page 2 of the printed bill, merely removes language which refers to firm, association, corporation, or cooperative association so that individuals are not permitted from bidding on contracts. The second change creates a process where a local official may receive a bid even when no one else bids. Currently, a bid may only go to a local official if they are the low bidder and there is more than one bid received. This bill would allow the local official to receive the bid even if they are the only bidder, if, and it's a big if, they went through the full open bid process and published the bid notice on the statewide central bid exchange. This bid allows local business people to continue to serve on local boards without harming their business interests. This also allows local entities to have a full range of bidders available to them and maintains the integrity of the bid process. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Are there any more proponents for House Bill 1114?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. If you would allow Mr. Wilcox and I to appear jointly. They thought we were adorable in the house, so we wanted to come over and try it here. The bid process is something that both of our associations are pretty protective of, because the entire intent of it is to make sure that you get the best bang for that taxpayer dollar. We feel that this is a good bill because it really does protect the process while at the same time allowing people to continue to serve on boards without having to jeopardize what they actually do for a living. The first part of the bill, as was explained, simply allows an individual to be the person who can receive a bid rather than having to form a corporation or do something different. And then the second part of the bill would allow someone to receive a bid, even if they were the only bid that was received, but only if they had taken extraordinary steps, and one of those is to go through the central bid exchange. And so that means instead of just advertising locally, it would go out on a statewide level, and that way you've got the full range of bidders possible, but yet if that board member happens to be the only one that bids, they could still allow that to be accepted. This came to the Municipal League's attention a few years ago, and I can't remember the exact town. It may have been something like Eureka, where a council member had bid on building park shelters or park benches or something like that. They couldn't accept it because he was the only bid that was received. They went out to bid again. Again, he was the only bid that was received, was a council member, and so it was just an impasse. They couldn't get the work done, and they couldn't give it to the one guy that wanted to do it. So this would solve those situations in the future and yet maintain the integrity of the bid process, and so we would urge your favorable support.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox, Executive Director of South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. And we're very fortunate today to have with us Commissioner Robert Johnson from Harding County, who's going to actually, he had problems with this particular issue, and he's going to come forward and explain exactly what happened and why and what was done about it. So with that, we'll stand aside. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents for House Bill 1114? Welcome, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Robert Johnson. I'm a commissioner in Harding County. I'm testifying for myself today, but I did get involved in a issue with this law. We were building a road that went close to my place, and I was one of the people that had some gravel, and our next closest gravel was about 30 miles away, and it saved the county just on that part of the road about $300,000. We went ahead and did it, and then when the audit came out, it came to our attention that 611 doesn't allow that, and so it got turned over to our state's attorney, turned it over to the Butte County state's attorney. I'll step back a minute. The legislative audit really never had any problem with it, but our state's attorney just thought it needed to look at from somebody else. Well, in the process of saving the county $300,000, it cost me about $800 to get this thing straightened out, and I didn't think it was right, because when I became a commissioner in 2003, you know, I thought my job was to do the best thing I could do for my county and save money and do whatever the best thing was for it. And this law doesn't allow me to do that. And I think that we need to do that. I think it has a lot of other unintended consequences. I know in our little town of Buffalo, getting somebody to serve on the city council is quite a problem. Here about, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a 5-member council. 3 of them resigned because of this law. Their husbands worked for the city, or did work for the city, backhoe work and stuff like that. And so I guess it's kind of a twofold deal here. We need to be able to save money for the counties. We shouldn't keep people from serving on these councils and county governments and stuff. So I think there's a lot of good things that could happen with this bill. And on top of it, we should save money every time we have a chance with counties. I guess that's why we kind of brought it forward. It came from Harding County because of this issue, and I would hope that you guys can move this bill forward and send it to the floor, and that it will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further proponents for House Bill 1114? We will now move on and take opponent testimony for House Bill 1114. Are there any opponents? The chair now moves on to questions of the committee. Any questions, committee members, on House Bill 1114? Mr. Chair. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. I have a question for the sponsor of the bill. I have 2, if I could. Just a question. I've never served on a county commission. Do they sign a conflict of interest or do a notice of conflict of interest when you take public service in that role?
Mr. Chair. I do not know for a county commissioner. I have not served either. Can Bob help out? I'm getting...
We sign a conflict of interest. I just wondered if they do. You don't know. Okay. Then my second question is, in this bill, would they actually vote if they were the bidder and they're on that board, or would they abstain from voting on that bid?
I'll defer to Ms. Taylor. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. On the first question, if there is any kind of a conflict of interest disclosure, that would be a local policy. And then on the second question, no, they would not vote, and there's pretty specific statute that prohibits anybody from voting on anything where they've got an interest in it.
Thank you.
Senator Teason, no questions? Okay. You gave me that look, that inquisitive look that I often get from you, Senator.
It's the awaiting action look.
Okay. Well, seeing no further questions, the chair now moves on to... Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Bradford.
No question, Senator.
My question, Senator Nelson, is... What was going through your mind last night when you made that 3-pointer?
It was a 6-pointer.
It was for the team. I knew it. I knew it had to fall.
I had to get that on record.
It was. I talked to Coach Hunhoff over here, and we all agree that it was the play of the game. Well, it was the momentum changer.
We won by 5, and how many points was that one worth? 6?
Senator Holeen.
Thank you. That answered my question.
Not necessarily a question, but yes, I was predisposed to kill your bill until last night when you saved our team. And that flipped my vote, and congratulations.
We'll have an autograph session immediately after, after session today.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Seeing no further questions, the chair now moves on to committee discussion and action. Senator Teason.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Second.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Teason for House Bill 1114, seconded by Senator Holeen. Any discussion, Senator Teason?
Well, I move do pass not on the merits of basketball, but on the merits of the bill, which I think were well explained, and we do have competing interests here. I think this is a good solution. It protects the public treasuries, but still allows people to serve and allows them to enter into agreements with full disclosure. I think this is a good solution to a problem that's been well identified. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Teason. Any further discussion on the due pass motion in front of us? Seeing no further discussion, we have a due pass motion for House Bill 1114. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Fleckaway?
Aye.
Unanimous?
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of the members-elect, House Bill 1114 passes.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move consent.
We have a consent motion by Senator Holeen. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Nelson. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1114 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. The next bill up is House Bill 1169. This is an act to provide for the enlargement of special zoning areas, to revise certain provisions regarding special zoning areas, and to provide for the appointment of special zoning area commissions. And we'd like to welcome Senator Krause.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee. House Bill 1169 is a bill that addresses zoning in Meade County only. It is specific to the only county in the state that has district zoning. Current statute does not provide for enlarging an existing district. It uses through, you'll see that you'll be looking at the statute, it uses the word establish a lot, and this bill will change or add enlarge in different forms throughout House Bill 1169. let's just look briefly at the bill, and I will turn it over to people who know a lot more about it than I. But look at Section 3. Well, you'll see as you go through that the areas where it says established, like on Section 1, are enlarged is added several times. Then if you go to Section 3, this deletes the need for a census, and that will be explained further by the other proponents. Then on page 4, Section 7, it says that notice may be provided by mailing it to qualified voters within the proposed special zoning area. Previously, that was being done by census. Then on page 6, sections 13 and 14, that's a new section that allows the county commissioners to appoint a commission of five or more members for this enlarged area. There are several proponents here today to speak to the bill. I will turn it over to them, and I will stand by, but I will ask that the Meade County representatives take any questions and also do the rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Krause. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1169?
Good morning, Senators. I'm Alan Aker. I am a Meade County Commissioner, and I'm authorized to speak for the county by vote.
Thank you,
Ron.
I think
now it's on.
There you go.
I'm a Meade County Commissioner. I'm authorized to speak for the county. We have by vote endorsed this bill. We did seek legislators to sponsor it. We formed the state's first special zoning district in 2010. It was unanimous votes on our board. We really didn't see any opposition from the public. We're still working through. This is our first zoning ever in Meade County. We're working through getting the ordinance in place and then classifying the properties. In doing this first ever in the state effort, we did run into some difficulties. The census costed a lot more money than we thought. And we discovered, you know, a census really isn't a way to give people information. It's a way to get information from them. You know, all a census establishes is how many people live someplace. And there's no requirement in the statute that a zoning area have a certain population. So we just didn't see what good it was to be doing the census. We do think people need to be notified that they're in a proposed special zoning area. The other problem with the census was we had such a little time in statute to complete it. After we took our vote authorizing the census, the statute only allowed 30 days to complete it, and that might have added to the cost of the thing too, but we just didn't see a reason to have the census. We have in our county a town, Faith, that's 100 miles from our county seat. And we have in our county, a lot of our population is only a few miles from Rapid City. So our county newspaper, the Meade County Times, most of the people that were thinking about putting in special zoning districts do not get that newspaper. More of them get the Rapid City Journal. And we wanted the option to be able to inform them just with a letter like we do with your tax assessment. More for their convenience than anything else. The other point I'd make about the bill is, being such a large county, we're not sure, but we could foresee that we may want to have, we'll always have our main planning and zoning board that handles planning for the whole county, but we may want to have a separate board for just a special zoning district, or special zoning area, I'm sorry. And so that's the reason we asked for the language allowing us to have an additional zoning board. And that's just permissive. And we have two others from Meade County, and I'm sure any of us would answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aker. Any further proponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1169?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Robert Heigerken. I'm a Mead County Commissioner also. I'm relatively new to this. This is my first term, and so I'm a little bit nervous about doing this. But we do have a very diverse county and a very large county, and I was supporting this bill because I really want to see local control of these zoning districts. And I can see where we could have more than one district formed to deal with certain areas of our county that are affected by different entities, like Rapid City or Ellsworth or Sturgis and the Valley, things that happen around there. And I really would encourage passage of this bill so that we could have more local control for our citizens to have input into their local government. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1169?
Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, my name is Kurt Chafee. I am the county assessor for Mead County. I've been doing that for 25 years and representing myself, though, in this capacity today. As Representative Mark Kirkaby just remembered after his testimony, I'm also the planner for Mead County. Both the county commissioners gave a good basic background of why we need this change in the ordinance. Typically, every county in the state, a majority of the counties in the state have zoning, and they can do it on a countywide basis. It could never pass in Mead County. So in 2006, we had this bill created to allow zoning to occur in a county that did not already have zoning, didn't have a comprehensive plan, or there was no zoning ordinances in place. Mead County qualified for that. That in 2006, that legislation allowed zoning to occur in two ways. One, either by a grassroots effort from the participants, citizens up, or the county commissioners. We waited for a time period for the grassroots effort to start, and as we found out, the cost of it was prohibitive. I hired a company to do the census for Mead County. We did an area that was around the new city of Somerset. It's a modest boundary. It met the 5 square miles of size. Because of that time restraint, it cost me approximately $30,000 to get a census done of just that portion of Mead County. The areas that we had planned for zoning districts would encompass Ellsworth Air Force Base. Half of Ellsworth is in Mead County, the south half being in Pennington County. Blackhawk, which is just right on the Mead-Pennington County line, and that I-90 corridor, it's the portion of I-90 that's actually running north and south from Rapid City up through Sturgis and on over to Spearfish. Our first thought was that would probably create at least three different districts. In doing so, just doing quick math, that was $100,000 of doing census and the data to collect that. So if with this bill, it would allow us the ability to at least take the districts that we just got formed in the new zoning ordinance and take that and grow that both to the north and to the south, or the ability to maybe even create another district at some time. But the major fault that we had, and it's the ideology of robbing or using current zoning laws and then trying to just call it special districts and move it into this special district section. It was just the concept of, again, normally when you zoned a county, you did the entire county. So there's no need to have any language of enlargement. But when you're doing just a portion of a county, we fell asleep at the switch. It needs to have a mechanism to grow. With that, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1169?
Yeah, I'm Nancy Hilding, Prairie Hills Audubon Society. We're supporting this bill. We have wanted zoning in Meade County for a long time to help us solve all sorts of problems. So we support this bill. We concur that the census is too much cost and effort, too much hassle, and be prohibitive for people to petition, initiate. We concur that you need to be able to enlarge areas. That's just common sense. And we concur that you should be able to have special boards. That's another common sense thing. We concur that mailing out notice is better than in the newspaper. I do want to caution about something, that the mailing would go out to voters, and that would then miss absentee landowners and people who are not registered to vote. However, I think sending out a whole bunch of letters to all the voters will result in word of mouth and much more knowledge than a notice in a paper. So, you know, while some people will be missed, the overall impact would be much better. And so I strongly support this bill, and I want you to pass it. And I'm going to make some comments here about other things that I need to be fixed, but in no way talking about other things that need to be fixed do I want you to stop or hurt or not do this bill, because these are problems that need to be solved. I think there's some other problems with the special zoning law that need to be addressed. Whether you try to do that by amending this bill now or doing it next year, I don't know. I'm going to give you here to pass out to you an amendment that Klocek tried to get in the House, and Alan has criticized this amendment, and, you know, I agree there are some flaws with it, so if you wanted to do an amendment, you would, I think, need to look at it. The issue with respect to this, well, before I get there, there's a law, it's South Dakota Codified Law 11-2-13. It begins with this: adoption of zoning ordinance for the purpose of promoting health, safety, or general welfare of the county, the board may adopt a zoning ordinance. So the question that says may adopt a zoning ordinance. So the question is, can Meade County only adopt one ordinance? So if it creates 5 special zoning area districts, is there only one ordinance that then is adopted the first time it's stage-borne and then applies to all other ones and can only then be amended, and you can't have a different zoning ordinance for each area? And that's something that if you wanted to have a different zoning ordinance for each area, I think you may have to amend the statute, which is not currently proposed, but that's something to think about. Okay, so the next step is the existing statute allow. This is a map I can hand out some of these. I don't have enough, but this is the first action that happens is you decide on the size of the area. This was the area decided for stage barn. The green thing in the middle is Somerset, which is a city, and the purple stuff is the special zoning area, and the tan stuff is what's excluded. Okay, so this action was taken by the commission, and this is referable by 5% of the voters in this area, you know, within 30 days, 20 days of its publication. Okay, but the only thing they're referring is the first step in a zoning process. It's a decision to go ahead with a special zoning area. Okay, so then there's, you know, 2 or 3 more steps. This is the latest version of the ordinance that's been through the planning board, and we'll go to first reading before the county commissioners on Tuesday. This will apply to this, okay? And this is the map that is appendices to this ordinance that will apply to stage park. Now, this action is not referable only to the local people. You go back to pre-existing statute, and you would have to refer this to the entire county. Okay, so the auditor told me to refer to the entire county is 790 signatures right now. I asked how many people did the census show existed in this area. Nobody could answer me, but I heard 1,100 to 1,300. So if we assume 1,200 people, average family size in Meade County is 3, we come up with 800 adults. Assume all of them are registered voters. To get 790 signatures, if you don't like this map or you don't like this ordinance, you'd have to get everybody but 10 people to sign your petition. So this is then where the Klawchuk Amendment came through, which is to make the subsequent actions referable only to locals. But, you know, Alan didn't like this, and he pointed out to me that, you know, other people will care. The people in this green area will care. The people in this Can area will care, the people downwind Blackhawk will care. So, you know, and this ordinance, because we can only have one ordinance, we'll have to go to the whole county. So he thought it was proper that it should be referred to the whole county. So, you know, I'm saying this is a problem. I would suggest a compromise solution that it can be referred, these subsequent actions can be referred either by getting 5% of the people in the special zoning area, in which case it would be referred to those, or if you collect 790 signatures, you can refer it to the county either or, and so then the people in the purple area can refer it, or the people in the purple, green, and tan area can refer it. But I don't know what the solution is, and I have not come out. I've, you know, been trying to draw drafts and sending them to Alan, and nobody's come up with a solution that makes everybody happy at this point. So I'm saying there is a problem here that needs to be solved at some point. I don't know if you want to do it this year or not. But I don't want anything that I'm talking about today to slow down the progress of this bill, because everything that is proposed now is good. And these problems are not a function of these bills. These already existed. It's just we haven't addressed them yet. And I would like to say this is not just Meade County's problem. I asked the Black Hills Council of Local Governments, and they said there are 7 counties that belong to that. 3 of them, Pennington, Lawrence, and Harding, have comprehensive zoning, but the 4 others don't. So not every county in South Dakota has a comprehensive zoning thing that applies to whole county. So this whole thing could be used elsewhere. So what Meade County does with it is not just, it's not just Meade County. You have to think about, you know, what would happen. Okay, so there's another question which Lance Russell asked me when I was talking to him about it in the House, and I can't figure it out from reading 169. I'm not smart enough. When this is referred, when you expand or enlarge, is it referred just to the people who are being enlarged upon, or is it referred to the people in the existing special zoning district and the people who are being added? And he asked me that question, and I stared at the language, and I couldn't figure it out. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilding. Are there any further proponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1169? Chair will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1169. Are there any opponents? Chair will now move on to questions of committee members. Do any committee members have any questions on House Bill 1169? Senator Hunhoff.
I have a question for the sponsor. What is a special district? Well, I mean, Mr. Akers, you can answer that. Just what is a special district? I'm trying to equate it to terminology East River, let's put it that way.
Mr. Chair, it's just the same as a whole county being zoned, except only part of a county would be zoned. Our problem is we've got people around Faith don't want to be zoned at all, and then people near Rapid City want that protection to their home values. So inside whatever boundaries we create for a special zoning area, it'll work just like it does when a whole county is zoned.
Follow up.
Just based on the testimony from the last person, if there was, you had this district then, and you had a referendum or something to go back, is it just in that district, or would the whole county vote on that?
Mr. Chair, as to the formation of the district, I think there is some ambiguity in the statute, but that pre-exists this bill. We really didn't change that part of the statute. Now, there's a second part to the answer. As to the ordinance itself that we'll have our first reading on Tuesday, that is referable to the whole county, and I think properly so, because the whole county, anyone in the county may be subject to that ordinance later on.
Follow up.
In this process, then, say you had, you've identified some areas, but let's say you had a group of people, you had 500 people someplace in Meade County, and they'd want a special district. Then they would petition the county then to say that they want a special district?
They could do that as long as they had five square miles.
Great. Thank you.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to thank Commissioner Akers. He sees me several times sitting on that side. I wanted to tell you that now you know where I'm when I'm at your will. But my question is this going to really make it better for, because you have so much diversified businesses within your county. Man, I just marvel at how you guys as commissioners can handle that. But will this make this much easier for your zoning area?
Yes, Senator, it will. You know, we had that problem with the all the billboards that they put along the railroad. And because we didn't have zoning, our hands were really tied. So that's a concrete thing that might not have happened if we could have had zoning. And so that and just all the other things that could devalue a person's home. I worry about Bear Butte. You know, people talk a lot about the rally businesses, but there's a lot of businesses that could locate next to Bear Butte that I wouldn't want to see in that area. So it could help us solve a lot of problems.
Just follow up. I have been referred to as older than Bear Butte.
Are there any further questions from members of the committee? Thank you, Mr. Aker. The chair will now move on to committee discussion and action. Committee discussion and action. Senator Teason.
I move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Teason to do pass for House Bill 1169, seconded by Senator Bradford. Any discussion on that motion, Senator Teason?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think Meade County does win the Diversity in Counties Award. It is an incredibly large and diverse county, and I personally think that these special zoning areas are a great a solution to that diversity problem. I wish them well with that, and I think the tweaks and amendments that we're proposing here today are appropriate and fitting, and therefore I support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion on the do pass motion for House Bill 1169? Seeing no further discussion, the motion before us is do pass for House Bill 1169. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Pauline?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
There were seven ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect present, House Bill 1169 passes. Senator Bradford.
Move consent.
Second.
We have a motion for consent by Senator Bradford, seconded by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote. Committee members, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1169 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. All right, committee members, the last bill we will take up today is House Bill 1174. This is an act to revise certain provisions concerning alcoholic beverage licenses issued at the county fairgrounds. And we'd like to welcome Representative Konzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have to apologize right up front. I'm a little bit ill, so we might want to have this wiped down when I'm done. Committee, House Bill 1174, you might recognize that it came last year, and what this bill initially was to do was carve out a liquor license, much like the liquor licenses that are that were being utilized at golf courses or airports. The snag, in the bill that was not addressed, this is a clarification bill, just a cleanup bill, is that it didn't state specifically if the county owns the fairgrounds, the county issues the liquor license, but if the or if the city owns the property, the city issues the liquor license. What this is doing is just clarifying that. And I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Consett. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1174? We will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1174. Are there any opponents? The chair will now move on to questions from committee members. Do any committee members have any questions? Seeing no questions, the chair will now move on to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson.
I read this three times, and it just doesn't make sense. I think you have a typo. Or are you seeing it, too? We have too many mays.
Yeah.
And if Representative Consett would concur, I think we can correct that now.
Thank you for pointing that out, Senator Nelson. We were just consulting with staff over here about the same thing.
I'll defer to LRC to...
Would you like to offer an amendment?
I would offer an amendment to strike one of the mays, whichever makes most sense to...
Strike
the may on line 6.
Yep. Okay, we have a motion to amend House Bill 1174 by Senator Nelson, the second by Senator Teason. The motion is to strike the may on line 6. Any further discussion on that motion to amend, Senator Nelson? This is a voice vote, committee members. All in favor of the motion to amend House Bill 1174, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. House Bill 1174 is amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson.
Move to pass.
Second.
The motion by Senator Nelson is do pass House Bill 1174 as amended, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any further discussion on the do pass motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, just further clarity. It was a good bill last year. It continues to be a good bill, and I appreciate Representative Consett bringing it.
Any further discussion on the do pass House Bill 1174 motion as amended? Seeing no further discussion, the motion before us is do pass on House Bill 1174 as amended. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff? Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Moline?
Aye.
Schlekowy?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of the members-elect present, House Bill 1174 passes as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Moline.
I'll move consent.
It's amended. Oh, sorry.
Any amendments... Bill, for those listening on the internet and those in the audience, cannot be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1174 passes as amended and will go to the Senate floor. Well, good job today, committee members. We worked our way through a lot of bills, and we're winding our time down in the local government committee. Looks like we'll have three bills Monday. And there's a potential we may have the one bill referred back to us involving water districts. But just a reminder to leave your black books on the table to for the pages to pick up. And with that said, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Moved by Senator Teason.
Second.
Second by Senator Moline. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.